Hi, my name is Daniel Doss. I'm one of the worship leaders at the Battlefield campus here at New Vision. And this is Holy Week, and I'm really honored to bring this scripture to your mind today. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and I'll be reading Luke 21, verse 37 through chapter 22, verse 6. And every day he, Jesus, was teaching in the temple. But at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. That's the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Wow. This is a massive plot point in this narrative, in this true story. So verse 37 of Luke 21 says, every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and he slept on the Mount of Olives. And then it says the chief priests and scribes were figuring out how to kill this guy because they feared the people. They feared the people because Jesus had the people. They followed him and listened to him instead of them. And if you're a chief priest, you have been working your entire life to have this position. You know the things to say. You know what to wear, and you wear them well. You know how to act. You know what is yours, and you're going to get it. Jesus, on the other hand, this vagabond, this rebel, this guy that's outside of this priestly complex, he's sleeping on a mountain, on Mount Olives. He's sleeping on a hill. It's more like a hill than a mountain, to be honest. And he's probably sleeping with his head propped up against a tree on the grass at night. He's in town for the Passover. He's not really hanging out there most of the time. And so he's there in town for the Passover. And he wakes up from his bed of grass and walks down the valley and up the hill to the temple. About 4 years ago, I was standing on the Mount of Olives, and you can see the temple. It's not a long walk. I mean, it's not a block. It's, you know, more than a block away. But you can see the temple, and Jesus would walk there every day during Passover, and he would start talking. And this vagabond, this guy that was not wearing the right clothes, that didn't sleep in the right place, didn't even have a house to live in, who was very self-proclaimed, walked as though he had authority, and incredulously, the people listened to him. They listened to this guy. Like, yes, he's got some good things to say, but where did this guy come from? He didn't, like, grow up in this priestly system. He didn't grow up knowing, learning what to say and how to say it, but all of a sudden, he's saying all these incredible and wondrous things, and people even say he can heal people. So the people follow this guy. We got to get rid of him. So obviously I'm kind of talking from a perspective of a Pharisee to help us understand why they wanted to get rid of him. And now check this out. Satan saw an opportunity. Satan inhabited Judas. Now, something we need to be aware of is that I do not believe Judas was fully a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple. He was one of the 12, but he hadn't put his complete yes on the table. He left himself open to demonic possession. No believer, follower of Jesus, can be inhabited by Satan or any other demon or power because Holy Spirit has set up shop in your heart and ain't gonna go anywhere. What has been done is done. If you have said yes to Jesus, then you are changed, transformed, and The Lord dwells 100% in you. You become his dwelling place. So you cannot be possessed by Satan or any such demon. However, you can be influenced. So don't negate that. When you, like Paul said, you know, I owe the war within me. You know, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I should do. You know, a wretched man that I am. He's giving us an example of the realities. He's living in two places at once. He's living in the heavenly realm with his spirit, soul, but he's also living in the earthly realm with his body at the time, in the tent that we have right now, that is the carrier of our soul and our spirit. And so you cannot be possessed by Satan or a demon, as Judas was. So sometimes that people get concerned about that. Well, if he followed Jesus for 3 years, how could he? It's because he was not fully a follower of Jesus. And so as a result, Satan saw an opportunity, possessed Judas, and went and gave the Pharisees what they wanted. They wanted this guy gone because he was starting to take over in a situation that they didn't want taken from them. And so here's something that interesting that stood out to me as I read this today. It said they were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. It's interesting because they should be fearing who? God. Period. If they feared God, their eyes would have been open and they would have seen Jesus as the Messiah. And actually, there were some that did. But I'm not going to go there. But for today's reading, we see Jesus lodging on the Mount of Olives, probably laying on the ground, walking over, speaking, and inspiring people and drawing people in with the truth of God. So today, settle in. Stay the course on this Holy Week and consider all the players involved. Consider the selfishness and the pride of the Pharisees and how that can creep into our hearts. Consider the deceitfulness and the selfishness of Judas. And also consider the deity and the preciousness of our Savior and how he was treasured while he walked the earth and how his sheer presence drew people in. And it was much more than simply he was a really nice guy. But people sensed it and they loved it. Unless you had something to lose, like the Pharisees. And then they feared it and hated it and tried to eradicate him. There's a lot of tension. A lot of tension building. We're going somewhere with this. Something's about to happen. So on this day, consider yourself. Consider, where are you in this? Where is your heart? Are you giving way to darkness with pride and arrogance? Are you giving way to darkness through being greedy? Are you giving way to light by being obedient to what God is telling you to do, no matter the cost? You know the interesting thing here? Jesus knew what was about to happen. Yet he said yes. And he goes on to pray later, not my will, but thine be done. So let's follow Jesus here this week. And let's continue to consider. Let's continue to consider our own hearts as we read and consider once again this powerful happening in history. Let me pray for us. God, help us sense the gravity of this moment and of this week and of this sacrifice. Help us not be negligent in considering the evil within those in the story and how it can take hold of us. Not in a possessive way, but in a oppressive way. God, help us to turn our hearts to you and our minds to you throughout the day. Help us to keep our eyes on you with a laser focus in the same way that you kept your eyes on obedience, even death of a cross, on a cross. You're good to us. You're patient with us. And I'm so thankful for that. Be with my friends today. May they sense your presence with them today as they keep their minds on you. We love you. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a good day today. Or if this is the end of your day, good day tomorrow. And join us tomorrow as we continue down this path of Holy Week.